Friday in Paradise at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Great day to come on down, get yourself a cocktail. We got our man, look at Ticker going with a Bloody Mary in the afternoon. Very bold move right there. Get yourself some brown liquor. And remember, kids, it's liquor, then beer in the clear. Beer, then liquor, never sicker. You know that, right, Abe?
Just stick with liquor.
Thank you. There you go.
All night long.
Right on. Hey, we're going to be here until 6 o'clock, and we got plenty to talk about with the schedule that came out. We were joking around to start the show that when, you know, the NFL sort of just took over the world, and it sort of happened sometime, I guess, between 98 and 2002, that it just happened, that all of a sudden the NFL just blows everybody out of the water, and something as simple as a schedule release becomes a multimedia platform event on NFL Network and ESPN, and although technically they're owned by the same group, but it's big. And so every team is kind of, you know, pressured to come up with something cool and creative to talk about their schedule release. Falcons do a video about 6.5 minutes long. And as Abe said, I wonder if some of the younger demographics, younger guys, connect with the This Is Sports Center kind of reference, which the, you know, the old Sports Center promos that were so clever and so funny, going back to when ESPN was clever and funny with Stuart Scott and Dan Patrick and, you know, back in the day. And, you know, when Oberman, before he became a maniac, all that stuff. It was great. And they really just, I thought the Falcons nailed it, some really funny stuff.
Yeah, it was outstanding. A lot of work had to go into it just with the amount of filming they had to do, and then I'm sure the amount of editing. I know they put out a bloopers reel earlier today. I didn't get a chance to see all of that yet. But, yeah, really good job. I think pretty much across the board people have it as one of the top 10 releases, if not higher than that. I saw it sixth somewhere. I saw it in third somewhere in terms of just ranking the release videos. So the Falcons did a great job. Really enjoyed it. You know, it's long. It took me by surprise just how long it was, but the 6.5 minutes did go by fast, made you chuckle. Definitely, if you get some of the references, even if you don't, still really, really good.
Hey, man, we'll be here till 6, as we said. A lot of guys hit us up on the text line. They agreed with what Day-Day and Abe and you and I were chatting about as far as, you know, the games. A lot of folks have said they've always wanted to go to Lambeau. Sure seems like a good fit. You know, if you can get off and play hooky for a Thursday night game, that's the problem. It's not a Sunday.
Point.
You know, so, you know, if you've got the, like, steaky, if you've got the wherewithal to take a 4-day weekend, you can do that. But that's one of the drawbacks there. I wonder how many folks are going to do the Madrid package. We ran into so many Falcon fans over in Berlin. It was a blast, and it was just the energy and just so much fun. And no disrespect to Berlin. Madrid is just a so much more fun city than Berlin. There's a million things to do in Madrid.
Well, this is where you start to get a little – if I were the league, I'd start to pay attention to stuff like this. The carryover of the Falcons being international last year, international this year, because when you start to talk about our fans going to go every single year to different cities year by year, if we ever get to a point where every team, quote, has an international game, how many fans are going to travel year by year by year over there versus if it's once every 3 or 4 years, maybe you can budget for it, plan for it. You know?
But they're talking about, and Roger Goodell is on record with this, that at some point we're going to have every single team in the league is going to play an international game.
It's clearly not about the fans going over there.
No, I mean, let's be honest. The fan has become the least important part of the equation.
There you go.
You know, even, you know, during NFL Sundays, you know, the Falcons do a great job to keep things moving with the music and everything. Like, we got Tigga in the section down below where I sit and a lot of things. But, you know, the commercial breaks, you know, the way the game proceeds, you know, for sometimes when you're in the stadium, you know, change of possession. Timeout.
If you're,
you know, field goal, extra point, timeout. You know, it's just, it's as a fan, the rhythm drives you crazy.
100%, Mike, because I don't go to a ton of games. I do prefer to watch them at home, just being honest. And when I do go to a game and I'm sitting there and I'm like, my goodness, I just don't ever feel like there's so little action at home.
Right.
And maybe I'm looking on my phone or whatever I'm doing. But, Mike, I mean, sometimes sitting in the game is like, I can't believe we're still in the first quarter.
Right. And that's the part of it now where, look, if you've got season tickets, and like, I don't want to get on a rant about PSLs because somebody at the Falcons will get upset, but, you know, you've made it harder for the working man. And look, with the economy, you know, it's kind of, we get mixed signals every week. We stay in our lane. We're not going to talk politics, but there are some things where people, like, for instance, NASCAR, struggling with some attendance because folks who live, you know, in South Carolina to drive up wherever the race is in Tennessee or vice versa, all of a sudden, you know, $75 to $80 to fill up your tank, maybe you tap the brakes on that, pardon the pun. You know, there's people are making, you know, they're cutting here, trimming there. But certainly, if you love the NFL and there's enough Falcon fans to, you know, put 1,000 to 2,000 people in Spain, we're going to do it. It's just, I get the other side of it. If you've got a family and you've got other bills to pay, you cannot rationalize spending $5,000 to take you and your wife or more than that if you're going to take the kids over to Europe.
Yeah, and especially not a second year and a third year.
Right. And the airfare, as we said, airfare right now is just through the roof, and we know why.
Take one of them repositioning cruises. That's what you got to do.
What's that?
Take a repositioning cruise. It takes 2 weeks, but, you know, it's cheaper than some airfare over there sometimes, and you get to take a cruise.
Hey, man, good to see these guys taking off from down south side. Hey, we're hit Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Let's talk some dogs. All right, man, we just had DJ Shockley on, and I was asking, and I'll ask you, Abe, the same question. Because, and again, Kirby, don't get this confused. I'm not saying the world has passed Kirby by. He's the best of the best of the best. Sir, that's a Men in Black reference if you got to play ball. But as far as where Georgia is, though, and how he's approaching building his team, doesn't it sort of ramp up and reach to this moment where this season, with Gunnar Stockton as an upperclassman, with some of the things you've got as far as the guys who've stayed, the money you've paid for transfer portal, this is where we got to culminate with a championship?
I can't quite go there. Because not just for him, for any program.
And I know it's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, and that's where
and
I'm
the
at.
World has changed. But, I mean, the SEC has slipped behind the Big Ten because Georgia hasn't been able to win.
Yeah, I don't buy that necessarily either just because of the championships. But I think for Georgia the idea is that you feel like you're in the discussion, right? And there were times last year, especially early in the season before the defense kind of got going, you never felt Georgia was in the discussion to win a championship. We kind of convinced ourselves of that down right. the stretch. And then obviously they faced some of the better teams and they were not in the discussion. There's no blank mandate of championship or bust, right? I don't think it's a failed season if you don't win the title. But I do think Georgia needs to be in the discussion where you're like, hey, we are probably one of the three best teams, and if something here goes our way, we're going to win the national championship.
Carl and I have these conversations with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, and they get heated over the last couple of months because Mike's of the opinion, well, you know, the year you lost to Notre Dame, you're just lucky you're there. I'm like, well, no, you're one of the top 10 teams in college football. And then last year you had a rematch with Ole Miss, and like, I get it. Was it a cakewalk?
Well, you can't be one of the top 10. Right. You need to be one of the top three.
Well, that's it. But yeah. I mean, my thing last year is you have the experience. You've got the coaching staff. You had a coach coaching in his second game as a head coach, and here you are, if you're the Georgia Bulldogs, you sat on a lead, and I got to be honest with you. I'll die on this hill. Had a great conversation with Zachariah Branch last week. Bobo, I think, sometimes gets too cute and starts using the wrong tools in the toolbox as far as sticking with the go-to. The point I'm getting to is you could have been in the national – I believe that Georgia could have been in the national championship the last year for sure. Maybe not 2 years ago
because
Gunnar was thrown to the Wolves after the injury, you know, to Carson.
Yeah, I think we got tricked by what their defense was last year. And I know they looked very good for a stretch, but I also think that there were a lot of holes defensively. They did not pressure the quarterback enough. We know that. To circle it back to the original discussion, I do think this year is much more set up for them to compete. Mm. I do think they're going to be a little bit better in terms of getting after the quarterback. I think their secondary is going to be very good once again. I think the offensive line is going to be strong once again. We know what they've got in the backfield. And now the question is, what do you get out of your playmakers on the outside? You lose Zachariah Branch. Does that open things up, make the offense look a little bit different? I do think they are set up better to compete for a national championship this year than I did last year. But, I think we got tricked into believing they were championship caliber last year after spending half of the season, maybe a little bit more, saying, I don't think they have it. Now all of a sudden they do, and then we're disappointed right. when in the playoffs they don't. I think we got fooled, myself included, by the way. Like, I was one who said no, well, and then I was like, I'm back in.
You got a 2-score lead on Ole Miss, and you blew it. I mean, you've got the experience.
That's in the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we're not talking down the stretch.
But you know, but Trinidad Chambliss, I talked a lot because I like his game, and some guys always joke, you're obsessed with this guy. Well, I think if you check a lot of boxes for Atlanta, you know, he's a dual threat, you know, and it would be pretty nice. Is he undersized? Well, okay, we'll get out the tape measure. But as far as that game, you had the more explosive plays, the more explosive athlete at quarterback was on the other team.
Right.
And Gunner's got to learn to throw over the middle. There's a lot of things that have to happen this year for this team to do and reach these goals. Meanwhile, Georgia did issue a statement. We spoke yesterday about Jamar Lee Riddle. Nobody knows much about him because he's a transfer. He's one of the, he was in the portal from East Carolina. But he got busted down in Clinton County by Brunswick. He was driving like a maniac, basically. That's what the police allege. And then when they pulled him over, he had some stuff in the car he shouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. So waiting to see where that goes. They're not going to comment. Like, standard line, nothing new. Not going to be talking about this right now because the case is ongoing. That was from a football program spokesperson. George, are you worried about them losing out on recruits? Now, again, I don't know how many – can you have too many quarterbacks? Is everybody, you got to, you know, please stay. Please stay. Seems like Kirby's got things good with Puglisi, and he's got the, you know, he's got a good chain. The reason I bring it up is Georgia loses out on a recruit named Peter Bork from up in Massachusetts, who goes with James Franklin, who slowly but surely is starting to put things together at Virginia Tech, including taking a lot of guys that he had at Penn State and doing a good job recruiting, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about Georgia's
Cruton.
This is, I know we're on radio.
Cruton.
Hand quotes, failure to complete the job on these recruits.
There have been some guys.
They'll be fine. I think they're going to be
like
fine.
Three or four guys in the last 2 weeks, so I'm just saying.
All right, what are they?
It's the life's blood
program. Fifth now in the nation in recruiting? Fourth? You know, I'm not too concerned.
All right.
I see a lot more guys that are going to Georgia that I'm impacted and impressed by than are not. So,
speaking of which, Ellis Robinson, KJ Bolden named to CBS Sports 26 most feared defensive players. Brad Crawford put that list together. Look, nothing else to do. They're coming up with some clickbait for you in the spring.
Look, I got some Brad Crawford articles I want to discuss myself. But
right.
Feared defensive players was not on the list.
Again, you know what? Nice to be on a list from some schmuck at CBS who says, fear those dogs. I'm just saying, Day-Day, what? I'm just saying, this is the time of year when these articles
here's
get
the
written.
Real.
Lay it on me.
All right, here's the topic.
Lay it on me.
Is this Georgia defense going to be good enough with only two of the 26 most feared defensive players in the country?
Well, I don't know that it's just that it's two. I think it's a good sign, though, that especially for KJ, who's clearly become a leader on that side of the ball, I think it's a good sign that you do see some, you know, some dogs getting this kind of recognition. And we'll have to see because at the end of the day, it does boil down to the door.
I don't know, Day-Day. When they were winning national championships, you would have had four or five
guys.
Well,
but here's the thing. But it goes back to the recruiting conversation.
If you're not on the Brad Crawford list, you're not going
to
win.
But it goes back to the recruiting conversation that you guys were just having. Like, Kirby's not getting that level amount of players anymore.
I have this Georgia fan. The guy's name is Rex, and I think he lives in Rex. But anyway, he always hits me up. He's like, you're trying to make Kirby sound like Dabo. No, I'm not saying like life has passed him by, but you know, you are doing things in a more analog mode than the rest of the college football world, for lack of a better phrase. I mean,
Look,
you're doing it old school.
I understand the comparison and all that. I've said that in this, quote, new era with the expanded playoff field,
right.
I think one championship every 7-8 years is
yes.
going to be expected.
It's the hardest thing in the world.
You're not winning back-to-backs in two out of every three.
Right. Right.
You give me one in every seven or two out of ten, you're doing an outstanding job.
You raise the bar. Georgia fans are spoiled, but that's life. Hey, man, Georgia Tech's raised the bar with Brent Key. He tells Andy Staples that Alberto Mendoza, Fernando's younger brother, is now the projected starting quarterback for Georgia Tech. So Brent Key was on with us and was not willing to spill the team. We'll have to break his balls next week. Why you say to Andy, you won't say it to us?
I don't know.
Something changed.
Yes.
In a week's time.
Hey, man, 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a full bar, guys, over here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on down. Join the party, pal. Guy brought his grandson. Is that your grandson? Yeah, he brought his grandson down. That's a great way to. Now, he brought a coloring book, and he told him it's a good time to expose him to Twin Peaks. Guys, give it up for Grandfather of the Year right there. That's leadership. That's the kind of stuff my grandfather would do. That's leadership, right? That's a good American right there. We'll come back, talk more about the Falcons and what part of their schedule is a beast. And there's a chunk of this schedule where you're like, man, it's going to be hard to find some dubs. We'll explain live from Twin Peaks Bucket on Duke's Bell. Is Dukes and Bell guys hanging out here as Day-Day's working contacts as there is a coach's clinic going on. And Day-Day, the 6 degrees of Day-Day, talking to a dude from Southside or down in Macon. And here we go. This is how Day-Day is becoming the best dialed-in dude. He's pushing Sam Crenshaw for that title when it comes to scholastic sports in the state of Georgia. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on down and join the party, pal. Beautiful day, man. This is like, I'm jealous of the folks sitting out on the balcony. I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, taking the headphones and just swinging it out there, man.
Yeah, it's pretty good today. It was chilly this morning. I was a little surprised. I woke up early to walk the dog.
I know. Global warming my ass. Yeah, it's great.
It warmed up quickly. It warmed up quickly, Mike.
No, I'm just saying it's been a very mild spring. You know that's going to change in a minute.
Now,
just,
the scientists will tell you it's both extremes.
Just
right?
to put a bow. I'm not going to Antarctica. I don't care. Put a bow on the story about the Georgia Bulldogs and expectations for Kirby.
Yeah.
Dog Nation posted a story earlier. I got this from Connor Riley. The heading says, it's been months since five-star quarterback Jared Curtis flipped from Georgia to Vanderbilt, but the effects of that decision are still being felt, I should say, by Georgia when it comes to the quarterback position. So we're just, you know, chatting about that, and you know, we had Clark Lee on, guys. If you missed the conversation, from Vanderbilt, interesting guy, and had strong opinions about the playoff. And one of the things that, you know, we argue about all the time, and he agreed. It sucks. It's a shame because we always loved. Well, some of us love the. Some don't care about the traditions.
Right.
But I mean. The traditions of college football going away and losing some of that, you know, those home and homes and the interconference, things like, you know, Florida State and Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech, et cetera. Because now with the 9-game conference schedule and the playoff, and he agreed with me on the college football playoff committee, no transparency, a moving target, not respecting the SEC strength of schedule, then you might as well not shoot yourself in the foot by going strong out of conference.
I want to counter this because I disagree with one caveat here. If you go to 24... If it is at 24, I think you will see the return of some of those games because who cares? You could get in with four losses.
Right.
So maybe if you're trying to find any positivity of going to 24, because I know you and I are on the same page, 16 is the max before you start to lose out on the regular season. I know you and I are aligned on that.
Right.
If you do go to 24, though, you might get the Ohio State, Texas, and if you lose, who cares? You could still afford three more, maybe four more conference losses and
right.
get in. And so maybe if there that's why Georgia, by the way, that Georgia-Florida State, it's in 2028 for a reason.
I know. I like the traditions.
Yeah.
I do think it separates. Look, we all love football. We're all football fans. It's just what makes it different between the NFL and the college game. You know, like you don't have to have gone to the school. Look, I lasted a semester and a half in Tallahassee. It's not about being an elitist because you went to the school. I mean, look, nobody went to the University of Miami. You know, all those cholos with the tattoos. I know those guys. What do you think those guys majored in? You know, window tinting, as we like to say. But they're big fans, you know.
And window tinting tougher or easier than basket weaving?
Well, I mean, you got to get it right. The tint, you got to get it right. You got to know the restrictions per state. Can't be, you know,
there's
can't be caught riding dirty out there,
there's
man.
A percentage.
Did I tell you about that? The last, again, first world problems. Last Corvette I had before the current one, I got it, and it came from Texas, and it had, they called it Texas tint, which was too dark for Georgia. I found out.
Georgia's about 3% the
right.
amount of light or whatever. I don't quote me.
But
on
I got to be honest with you. This tent was so dark, I have to like
couldn't
roll down the window at night to make sure I could see for merging traffic. And so it was almost too much, man. Then also with that kind of tent, you're rolling probable cause, you know, to most law enforcement.
Right.
You know, all right, man. A couple of things with the Falcons schedule. What stretch data asked today in our show notes of the schedule concerns you the most? May I go first?
Go for it. You got
I'll
it.
Jump
what
in.
You got?
Ravens, Bears, Niners, Bucks. And then the trip to Madrid.
I'd go two more.
I mean, two more.
Bengals and Chiefs.
Right?
I mean, agree with the start
I just
of that
gave
stretch,
you four,
yeah.
But I mean, you've got a big chunk of our. And that's why, and look, for what it's worth, whoever looks at this and then ranks it says the Falcons' schedule is not the toughest. You play these teams.
Last year's records, Mike.
I know that somebody's always rising or falling.
Yeah.
The Bengals may be good, they may be bad. Burrow may be hurt by the time we play in Spain. But. There's a lot of playoff or teams that are on the cusp of the playoffs on our schedule.
Chiefs, without Mahomes last year, third-place team. That's why you're playing them this year. They feel like a third-place team in
no.
week. I don't think
no.
so. Bengals?
Nope.
Obviously, you're stuck with the Bucks. San Fran, third-place team behind Seahawks. And
that game frustrated me the most of all the games that we lost. The San Fran game where you basically are going toe-to-toe, and then that's on Holbrook. You really can't blame Rob.
Yeah.
We had too many guys on
yeah.
the field, not enough guys on the
but
field.
But it's just –
you know,
the third place nonsense for teams that are good, and the Niners are good, the Chiefs are good, the Lions
right.
are probably going to be pretty good. So I don't buy into this, they have an easy schedule nonsense. It's a difficult schedule, Mike, and the stretch that you brought up I think is imperative. And I mentioned this through week 10, but if we're just looking at weeks 5 through 10,
right.
I mean, if you escape 2 and 3, I think you're okay. Anything better than that, you're incredibly pleased. Again, I know this sounds almost defeatist here, Mike. If you can get to the bye week in week 11 at 4-6, I think the season's still in front of you.
Right.
And I know that's not a great record. No one's going to be celebrating 4-6. But if you're 4-6 with a win against the Bucks, the Panthers, Saints, and one other, I just – You got a chance.
Well, we spoke to Brian McFadden earlier in the show, and that, you know, there's a lot of X factor with the Steelers. New coach with Mike McCarthy, presuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to be good to go. But, you know, that's a team which is going to be finding its way, as we are. And look, week one, some teams seem to be ready and some teams are not ready. You see the penalties and the mistakes, and, you know, it's some bad football because, like us, we didn't – in previous regimes, we didn't practice in spring. As far as the preseason games, I should say that spring training.
Look,
hopefully that changes with Stefanski with our group. We're going to find out.
Well, I do think there's concern there in regards to what you do at quarterback in the preseason if Penix is not ready. Because I don't know if you can at that point then risk Tua.
That's a great point.
And so that's part of it. I'll be honest, though.
But doesn't Tua need that experience because he's learning this offense, too? This is not Mike McDaniel's offense.
I'd be okay with it if Penix is not ready.
Okay.
But they'd have to tell us he's not ready.
But that's why, I mean.
They have to tell us there's no real competition yet and that his return is delayed and that in season, whatever.
But that's why I love what you said earlier. And we're going to get into it at 5 o'clock because we did it at 3. And Abe's got a theory on this. And I think, I got to be honest with you. You, I like it. You crazy guy. No, Abe's got a feeling about how the way the schedule is set up and how we have these national, we got 3 national games in a row on Thursday, Monday, and Sunday.
You surprised by that?
Just the way the schedule fell, you know. I mean,
well, hold on now. It's not the way the schedule fell. Like, there are teams that have no nationally televised primetime games.
Right.
They threw us on for a reason.
Well, we got Bijan Robinson. You know, we've got.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
I don't know. Like, the NFL would probably say if you've got a big fantasy player, it doesn't matter, but I think it plays.
I think that's a great point.
Right. I think that's why we're there early in the year and get us there before maybe the record gets sideways.
No, it's right. Good. Yeah.
And then I said on the breakdown of the schedule yesterday, I misspoke. I said Thursday. What I meant to say is they may flex us. We play Tampa. There's no start time on that end date. That's when we get into the games that could play on Saturday or Sunday. And if, you know, us and Tampa are battling for the division.
Yeah, you're thinking about flexing us up.
Right. To maybe Sunday night. Right.
There's no reason that if things go well through week 10 and then you can recover after that could be a relevant game. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And so we'll talk more about the quarterback battle. The other thing is the defense. You and I have said this earlier, we got all week to catch up as Carl's on vacay with his daughter and family, but the defense. We don't know anything about James Pierce Jr.
That's the one, right?
I do think Jalen Walker could step into that breach because we only scratched the surface with a guy who had a lot of like sort of soft tissue, your hamstring, groin, as Carl would say, groin injuries that kept him out. I think Jalen could be the guy with the dudes on the one-year deals in the meantime. I know you're not expecting collaboratively, collectively. I'm talking about all those guys.
And it's kind of a domino effect, right? Is someone able to do what Ellis was able to do, which would then allow Jalen Walker to be much more of a pure pass rusher? Or do they need Jalen Walker to be more of a, quote, linebacker than a pass rusher in some of those ways? And so that's what I kind of am looking for is of these fill-in guys, or maybe even Perkins or Harris or whoever it's going to be.
Right.
Are they good enough at their jobs to allow Walker to be a straight pass rush guy?
It's a great question.
Because if you need to involve him more into the linebacking core than the front, then you need Pierce back.
All these young guys, you've got dudes that, you know, who's it, Christian Harris from the Texans. If he can recapture the fire, you got a bunch of guys that have had some injuries. And, look, I'm excited about Perkins, the kid from LSU.
Yes.
I mean, this guy was going to be all world his first year at with the Tigers. We've talked about it. You know, Brian Kelly could screw up basically winning the lottery, it seems like, down at LSU. But they didn't use him properly. Then he had the knee injuries. Now 2 years removed from an ACL. I forget, the young man from Oklahoma.
Kendall Daniels,
who's totally fits what Ulbrich likes. Octopus arms, rangy, big guy at linebacker, like Divine Diablo.
And I know.
Like Divine Diablo. Thank you.
I know there's the thought process on this, but, Mike, what do you get out of Troy Anderson?
Well, I mean.
Does he solve anything for you if he's healthy?
Well, like.
I don't know. I don't have an answer, but, like, it's possible.
It's when you have played as few games as he has.
I get it.
You know, in the last 3 years, it's a shame because he whets the appetite with the effort against New Orleans, a game where Kirk Cousins, by the way, couldn't do anything. The offense was dead in that game. We had a special teams touchdown, and we had a pick six.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, he can give you the spark. But, again, I just think at this stage, I love Braylon Trice, but the realist in me says you can't expect anything from Braylon Trice.
Same thing as Troy Anderson. It's the exact same discussion. And that's where I get into this to this domino effect. If you can get anything out of Trice, does it make it easier for this, that, and that?
Right.
And if you can get anything from Troy Anderson in the linebacking core, it makes it easier for this, and that, specifically Perkins, who you mentioned, and Walker to just go get the quarterback.
Abe Gordon in for Carl today, guys. A reminder, it's the biggest year ever for soccer in Atlanta. Be sure to join Jason Longshore, that's Longshoe, on Twitter every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer Tuesday nights on 92.9 The Game. Also available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. We'll come back live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead on a Friday in Paradise. Got some guy talk for you. The latest in my getting my account stolen on Twitter saga. It is apparently more common than you think. I'm amazed. We'll get into some of that. Also, we'll debate the Abe says I'm blowing traffic Armageddon way out of proportion.
A little out of proportion.
And, you know, I will not drive in an autonomous vehicle.
Okay.
And further proof why you shouldn't either. Coming up in Guide Talk next. Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, Friday here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Abe Gordon is filling in for Carl Dukes. Thanks to all our loyal listeners for coming out today. Good crew as always, man, having a great time. And, man, the food is great. The beer is ice cold. Just got a nice Labatt's Blue Light. The taste of hockey camp, Abe, as I like to say. Tasty brew. One of the many on tap for you today. Raina is working at the bar. Raina, yes, with her smoky mezcal, old-fashioned, I do recommend. I also recommend an Uber when you're doing that. Also, by the way, speaking of Uber, did you see the video that went viral here in Metro Atlanta of the Waymos that all got basically stuck in a cul-de-sac?
I saw two videos. One of them was stuck in a cul-de-sac. Another one was stuck, like, in the alley behind an apartment complex, and there were 20 of them there stuck all doing some weird
turnaround thing.
There's
no way in God's green earth, and I speak for Carl Dukes on this, I will ever get in an autonomous vehicle.
I'll get one.
No way, Jose. And the other side of this was the video last week where the Waymos all stopped at a blinking red light.
I did hear that.
And, they also had to bring, what, 3,000 of them got recalled because of the software because they'll drive into standing water.
So, look, not to encourage the hackers, but could you imagine if they got into that system during FIFA?
Forget about
and
it.
Had those people just all over the
Where's
place.
The stadium? The stadium. The stadium is in Savannah. Drive time, 4 hours, 15 minutes. Yeah.
What's the worst Atlanta area? And you cover all sorts of high school sports. What's the worst, like, outdoor Atlanta area stadium that could be like, that's Mercedes-Benz. We're here for the World Cup game.
Oh, where the Silverbacks used to play.
Over 285.
Here you go. Silverback Stadium.
Here you are, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
They don't even have their
parking
lot paved
over there.
Actually,
no, check that. No, it's not even Mercedes-Benz because Mercedes does not pay for the sponsorships.
Yes, yeah, so it's just called
Atlanta Stadium. It's like, really?
Yeah, take them all the way up to Buford.
I mean, the frigging roof is a Mercedes logo. I mean, hello. I mean, that's why I love – that's the thing that – Carl always gets a kick because he's heard me rant about it, Abe, a million times. Is like when you go to a Final Four and they've taped over somebody who's not a sponsor with like black, like, you know, gaffing tape. You know, it's like very important. That's what all sports and competitions is about. No, it's about marketing rights is what it's about. And exclusivity.
Well, that was like in the Final Four when I was covering it. You couldn't take like a bottle, a Coke bottle, a Dasani bottle.
Right.
You had to pour it into that blue NCAA cup because they couldn't have any sponsors.
Not off-brand,
this
right.
is, by the way, I'm not on TV. This is just at Radio Row. You know, I mean, we're a court side of the games, but yeah.
No, so I got back on Twitter, and there was that story about the Waymos, and I think Channel 2 had it, and I commented. I said, there's no way I'm ever going to ride an autonomous vehicle. And, of course, immediately somebody goes, okay, old man yells at cloud. Like, first off, I'm Gen Z. I'm not a boomer. But I'm telling you. There's a story out of, I think it was California, where a guy puts his luggage at the airport in the back of the autonomous vehicle and it takes off. And it's gone. He shuts the trunk and away it goes. I'm sorry. Carl had a great point the other day. They're still working a lot of the kinks out or the bugs out of this. And I'm just not going to play ball, man. I'm sorry. I like to drive. No. Do I like to sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Oh, I didn't even tell you. Oh, my God. I just, real quick, today. I'm driving. I'm in the number one lane on 75-85, just by the old Turner Field, now where Georgia State plays.
You're coming north?
coming north, okay, coming up here to Twin Peaks. So I'm in the Batmobile. I got the top down. Music's blasting. And I look up in a mirror, and there's a guy tailgating me. And, like, he's riding my butt. And we're not going anywhere. It's just, you know, stop and go, which is a remedy for a rear-end accident. Mm-hmm. And so after I look, and the guy's in, like, a, I forget, I'm not sure if it was a Kia or a Hyundai. It's a new car. It's a relatively new car. And I wave my, I put my hands up. I, like my hand up, like, hey, like,
what are we doing here? Yeah.
And the guy looks at me like this. He just shrugs. And so he keeps tailgating me. So I get off in the number two lane. There's an opening. He pulls by. I go, are you a blank off? I basically said. This isn't road rage day day. I don't need anger management counseling. I just asked, are you a, rhymes with hag, off? You know, and because what are you doing? And so eventually I work back in front. And just, it's crazy. It's just the jerk gene that some guys have that I just don't vibe in traffic. When you're in stop and go traffic, you're not going anywhere. I give at least three car lengths because I've seen it happen. That's part of the reason we have the traffic is somebody rear-ended somebody.
It's funny.
And my car is very important to me.
Yes.
It's my wife. Well, actually, it's the, okay, car, dog, wife, but she knows that.
My car is less important to me, but I still don't want to get rear-ended.
Right.
I'm kind of with you on part of this because what I've never understood is when I'm not the problem.
Mm.
Right? And right. Look, if I'm going slow in the left lane
and
you want to tailgate
right.
me and beep at me, that's fine. When I'm going slow because there's a car in front of me and there's a car in front of him and it's just traffic and you're tailgating me like you're waiting to get around, and where are you going to go, bro?
Well, that's my thing.
I'm going where I can go as fast as I can.
And so my thing today is, again, I've had anger management sessions on, well, multiple occasions, and I'm trying to, like, de-escalate, but I couldn't help it. I did do the hand signal. The international
sign for... You
feel better
about yourself now?
I did. I looked at the guy, and I said, you are a...
As long as it makes you feel better about the experience.
And he wouldn't roll down the window. I almost wanted the satisfaction of going, like, what's your malfunction? But, again, that would be technically road rage.
Yes,
then I'm right back in court, and, you know, and I had to call Mark Jackson, my attorney, who, by the way, is the best. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you got a ticket, I got a guy. Anyway, guys, helping some neighbors, by the way.
My brother's my guy.
Really? Your brother's an attorney?
He's a defense lawyer.
I didn't know that. No kidding. I did not know
that. Now, he's never been called upon because I am an outstanding citizen.
Right.
But,
I've got an attorney who is, I've got a couple of Delta pilots that are alphas like me. And so they, you know, they tend to drop the hammer when they're driving. And so they tend to, you know, accumulate some. You know, if you're a Navy, you're not a pilot, you're a naval aviator. You know, you're driving a Porsche 911 because you're not going to, well, let's be honest, you're not probably going to do the speed limit.
Yeah, they're not worried about me and my Hyundai accent.
So, but I've got, I got a guy. If you ever need a guy, hit me up. All right, man. Kudos on a couple of accounts here to the Braves. First off, John Smoltz's 59th birthday today.
Yes, sir.
Eight-time All-Star Hall of Famer, great closer, great starter, great broadcaster. And I love the fact that John is unabashedly old school in his approach.
Yeah.
And I love that. In a world where we pamper everybody and everybody's soft. Now, look, I get it. If your kid's already had two Tommy Johns by the time he's 17, I don't know, maybe he should be a CPA. I don't know. Maybe the baseball dream's going to die hard. But John's of the opinion, and I 100% agree, Abe, your child should play all the sports. The problem is now, by the way, if your kid is the elite athlete, he can play all the sports.
Right.
If your kid is that good, he can play basketball, football, wrestle. You know, in the Northeast, we played hockey. You know, he can do it all. But Smoltz, I'm with him. I've got friends of mine, the kids, my God, baseball, 12 months a year. I can't even wrap my – and we wonder why people's arms are falling off.
You know, my favorite thing about Smoltzy, and I love Smoltz, is he knows he was great. He knows he was one of the best ever. He doesn't necessarily talk in the manner that he was the best ever, right? It's not braggadocious. It's not putting down others. But at the same time, he is aware that he was the best ever and knows he can get away with stuff like that. Because, and no offense to any other broadcaster, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be not a Hall of Famer and stick to the old school and criticize.
Right.
You better darn be one of the best to ever do it if you're going to carry in that lane. And Smoltz is and was. And
right.
so it it sounds normal. It sounds allowable.
No, and it's funny because sometimes I'll see on social media, we'll get to that in a second, you know, guys will be negative on Smoltz. It's tough love. It's the reality check.
Yeah.
Let Tommy play other sports so his arm doesn't fall off by the time he's finally at Vanderbilt or Georgia or Georgia Tech.
Coaches in every sport, you know, talk about the tendencies of other sports and how it buffers and helps you in this.
Correct.
Position. And that's across the board. It's not, hey, if you're playing football, also run track and baseball, and I'll help you in football. No, there are things in football that will help you in baseball, and there are things in basketball that will help you in soccer. It works all the way around.
By the way, I mentioned baseball. I said it earlier to Abe. I want to bring it up again and guy talk. Hopefully they're in the car and they hear this. We'll get Brandon Gauden on. It's been a minute. We'll get him back on. Brandon last night with Jeff Francoeur and CJ Nitkowski. And CJ, I love that CJ gets hung up on stuff. Like the other night, J.R. Richie had like the second button on his shirt. Wasn't buttoned.
Deep V?
Deep V. And CJ was like, he's like, no, he forgot. He was nervous. He forgot to button it. He was convinced. It was funny. Anyway, last night was great. They were talking about some of the specials at Truist Park. And one was the ice cream sandwich. And I guess there's a package. You get like a $3 Miller High Life or something. And anybody, I think Tinker can attest to this. And Big Daddy over there. There's nothing like a beer and chocolate. You know, or ice cream. Ice cream and a beer. You ever do a beer float?
I have not, no.
You've never done a beer float?
Beer, no.
You never done a scoop of ice cream and an ice cold beer?
No.
You throw some Oreos in there?
Ice cold root beer.
Oh.
Float.
Day-Day, you've never done a beer float? Wow, is that just... Tinker, have you... Okay, good. I want to make sure this... Guys, you ever done a beer float? Get a beer, stick some ice cream in it? Try it. See, my man's done it. So this is... This transcends north, south, black, white. This is good-tasting stuff, Abe. How have you missed this?
I like beer.
Oh, you're dead to me. Day-Day.
I like bourbon.
Right, real
quick. I like
bourbon. Anybody goes to Costco, they got Paul Lanner on special right now. So the German beer, you ever had that?
Did you say Paul Dano?
Paul Lanner. Paul.
Oh, you said Paul Dano.
No, Paul Lanner.
You could buy the actor?
No, Paul Dano, who, by the way, gets mercifully, unmercilessly crushed by Quentin Tarantino on social media.
Well, yeah, that happened.
I don't think Paul Dano was that bad.
He was not.
There Will Be Blood. He played a wormy character. But anyway, I'm telling you, if you try a Paul Lanner from Costco with either vanilla or chocolate ice cream, or try the Heffenwasser with that, Heffenweisse, you'll love it. Try it, Day-Day. It's delish. Somebody hit me up on, you hit me on the text line, you can hit me up on X. And by the way, Twitter is giving me no response. I found out, apparently I'm not the only guy who has had his account hijacked. And it's not just like, I'm not like a guy with a million followers. I got 41,000 followers and I'm happy with my crew. I tell you what, I might keep it the way it is. Even if X gets around, Elon Musk's, you know, AI minions get around to it, resolving this. Right now I've got a boutique account. It's called, what I'm saying is not bougie, it's a boutique account. Be part of the 1,200 followers at ATLBell929. Again, Mike Bell ATL has been hijacked by someone who says they're based in Austin but posts a lot of Asian political content.
A lot of and Elon Musk stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'm completely screwed right now. ATLBell929 is my new handle. Get on it. Join the party, pal.
I want you to know that I am committed to you recovering your profile, and I will not unfollow until you get it back.
I would like you to unfollow that. Maybe sends the message around the wrong. They're barking up the wrong tree. If that thing decreased by about 10,000 followers.
Okay, new promise. New promise, Mike. I will unfollow, but then you're going to have to remind me to follow back once you get control.
No, my buddy over here, Grandpa, with his kid, asked me, he goes, hey, what the heck happened to your Twitter? And I said, I told him the story.
Got.
You know, I got. It's all started with Oren. Oren sent me a corrupted file. But anyway, no, I talked to my
no.
buddy. Somebody had hacked my email. My passwords were out there on the dark web, so I had to go reset everything, which is a big hassle, man.
All right.
It's a nightmare.
I'm unfollowing right now.
Thank you. You're
the
man.
You want me to do this? Unfollow?
Get on the new tip. The new tip. All not right. TI, but the new tip. It's a.
You don't have one less of 39,000 or whatever.
You're the man. Thanks. I appreciate your support. The new me on social media. I'm going to stick to my guns. ATL Bell 929.
I wouldn't even try and grow that. I would use this opportunity for a break. I wish I could take a
That's
break.
That's what Carl always says. I always threaten to quit, you know, Twitter.
You're more on it than I am. I use it more to read and follow others than I do to throw
my wife's
own
theory
out.
Is I crushed some nerd on Twitter and then he hacked it. I'm just saying. I mean, some
little,
nerd who came
back.
At me and I said, I'm sorry, dude. You know where I came from. You don't say something to somebody you wouldn't say to their face.
Anything's possible.
That's right. Hey, by the way, I started this conversation with the Braves with Smoltz's birthday, 59. Hats off to Brandon Gauden, Jeff Francoeur, CJ Nitkowski for drinking a Miller High Life on the air last night. That's old school. You know, because the Cubbies were in town. Harry Carey used to drink a six-pack of Bud, but that was before the game even started. But they were talking about that ice cream sandwich and beer.
Yeah.
And Frenchie, the chemistry with those guys, it's what we talk about with, like, you know, with Chuck and with Kenny and Shaq and Ernie. Fantastic broadcast, entertaining, in a very boring game last night. The best part of the Braves broadcast on Braves Vision was BG, Jeff, and CJ. Great stuff last night.
Real quick about the Braves, didn't you kind of feel like, I mean, it's been that kind of year. You're like, you weren't giving up on that game.
No,
they've been.
No, I thought bottom of the night they're going to pull it out. But when you got a guy coming and throwing 100 miles an hour and 101, that's what I love with my closers, man. We'll talk to Grant McCauley, guys. He'll be on the show in about 25 minutes.
Real quick, a PGA Championship leaderboard update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Poltgeiter's still up there, Mike. He's still 5-under. He's almost done with his round.
By the way, thanks to Alex, my South African friend. It's pronounced Potgieter.
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 And then pretty much everyone is unchanged. Smalley, Goddard, Matsuyama, Steven Yeager, Maverick McNealy right behind there. Most of them are 3-under.
Scotty Scheffler goes 67-71. He is 2-under. So Scotty's within striking distance. All these guys ahead of him, with the exception of Matsuyama, have not won a major.
Yeah.
So we'll see if these guys crap the bed. But all the big names will be ready for moving day right now. The cut line, what's the cut line, by the way? Is Rory going to make the cut?
Is DeChambeau
going to make the cut?
Yeah, the cut line has moved to +4 at this point. DeChambeau's not going to make the cut. He's well off of it, but Rory is, at least last time I saw, he was safe.
Hey, man, this hour of the Dukes and Bell Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We'll come back. Falcon Report. Abe's going to explain how this quarterback controversy gets settled by week 4.